We're going to continue with the ministry of the Nativity during this time, and my topic is on Herod and the wise men, you know, because the two of them is kind of interlocking. On one side, you see Herod would try to stop the birth, even go as far as to kill our Savior. And on the other hand, we see the wise men come in to look for this one. Because why? They want to worship Him. They want to worship Him. And we this morning have worshipped this one who died for us, who gave us everlasting life. And so I'll just read. We're going to read from Matthew chapter 2. And that's our passage today. And I'm going to touch a little on Herod the first, and then maybe touch a little on the wise men. Who was Herod? King Herod. Yeah, who was he? He was born in 73 BC. He was crowned in 37 BC. And he was king. He reigned during this time when the Lord Jesus was born. You know, he was a descendant of Esau, or the Edomite. So that's why, you know, this king Herod, he's so bad, wicked. Yeah, because that, those families was one which was, you know, okay. Just a couple of more things here. He was also an enemy of the Jews. And he reigned over 35 years during his reign. In those times, he was a great builder. He built the city of Judah. He built public places like fortresses. He built theaters and other public government buildings. But he was a wicked king, and he knew not the Lord. So we're going to just read the story first, and then I come back and touch a couple of things that followed after Herod. So let's read Matthew chapter 2 and reading from verse 1. And it said, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who is born King of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and have come to worship him.' Then Herod the king heard this. He was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is written in the prophets, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the rulers of Judea, for out of you shall come a ruler who shall shepherd my people Israel.'" And that is a quote from Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. Verse 7, "Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he went and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also.' When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. Verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into his house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt. Verse 15, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt I called my son." And that is a quote again from Hosea 11 and verse 1. Verse 16, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts, from 2 years old under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. In verse 17, then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted, because they are no more." And that's a quote again from Jeremiah 31 and verse 15. And then verse 19 said, "Now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, 'Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead.' Then he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, 'He shall be called a Nazarene.'" And that's another quote from Judges 13 and verse 5. So here we have the story before us. The Lord Jesus, this was after the Lord Jesus' birth, you know, like 2 years after his birth. And they were living there in a home, not in the stable, but in a home. And here was these wise men. Wise men, because they learn about the stars and the heavenly look. They were educated in that kind of field, you know. They know what was happening. But in that sense, Jesus gave them the vision, because here was a different star. Can you imagine? From a regular star. The other day we were reading the paper, and there was a comet, you know, going across the skies, and some people wonder what this was. And it was the Russian cosmonaut, his spaceship, being burnt up across the sky. But there was a star, a special star, you know. And here, these ones know that there was something different about the star. And so they journey. They follow the star. And we want to put this right up there where we just sang the hymn, Three True Kings. We don't know if it was three kings. It could be one, two, three, four, or more. The Bible didn't say. It says wise men. And some people put names on where they came from. But the Bible didn't say. They came from the east. As what we see here, and we just say that. How much of that? And so forth. So we take what is given right here in the Word of God. And the first verse, as we look, verse 1 said, now after these, Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. Behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. So where did they went? They went straight to the palace. Because a king was going to be born, you have to be born in a palace. A king wasn't going to be born, you know, in a stable, no? Or a regular home. If you're going to be the next king in line, you got to be born in Buckingham Palace. Yeah. And so that's where they went. The wise men went there to seek out Jesus. No one in that country knew about the baby who was supposed to be born. Well, I shouldn't say no one, because Simeon knew. He was waiting for this one to come. But in all of that, I think Martin Luther is saying, you mean in that whole country, can you imagine? There was not one who was willing, who was ready to show these ones where the king was to be born. Can you imagine? Yeah. Even when the prince the other day was pregnant, they announced it. The whole world know that. But here was one who was coming to die for us, dear ones. Nobody knew about him, but those who were out there in the heat, in the night of the day, looking up, and they saw that star. So right away, in verse 3, we see, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Not only Herod, but the whole country. Why? Because there was a king being born and nobody knew about it. And this king was going to overthrow this king that was ruling. You know? So he doesn't want to give up his throne. Although this Herod was in the later days of his reign. Yeah. He wants to live out his days as king. No one is going to take his throne from him. And so he was troubled. He was troubled. And what did he do? You see, he didn't know, so he had to. He called a secret meeting. And verse 7 said, when Herod the king, he had secretly called the wise men, determining from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. Did Herod want to do that? I don't think so. I don't think he wants to worship. He wants to find his king and destroy him. Yeah, that was what he wanted to do. But you see, dear one, although both of us, you and me, we are going through this kind of world, there are difficulties in our way. There is one above us who knows everything. And here, he was giving Herod his plan, and on the side, he was giving the wise men their plan. They come to find this baby. They were looking for Jesus, and that's their aim. They left their country, and they followed that star. Yeah, Herod, this one was a wicked king. And it hurt him so bad, so bad. Let's jump down to verse 16. He was not only deceived, he was deceived. After the secret meeting, verse 16 said, Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. So here was one. They went to him and they said, we are looking for the baby Jesus. We are looking for the king, the next king who is to be crowned here. And he didn't know nothing about it. So what did he do? He called a secret meeting. Yeah. Of those who came looking for the king. And he said, well, what time did the star appear? Because I guess they tell him, we have been following the star, and it comes to Bethlehem, and it kind of stopped there, or it disappeared. Yeah. And there they said, okay, let's go into the palace. Knock, knock. What do you want? We come to see the king, the next king in line. And Herod, who's that? Anyway, Herod was so mad that he destroyed all the babies in those days. He killed all the babies under 2 years old. Can you imagine? After the killing, there was great weeping. Mourning first, and then great weeping. Verse 18, it said, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and a great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. They're gone. They're killed. They're destroyed. And here was this king. He thinks he had it made because all the babies were killed. I don't know how much baby was killed. Some people have an idea. I don't know if that is true. Some said it was under 100. Some commentators. Some said it was under 50. Some said it was under 26. But you see the scope now? It's going from one to the other. So you take what the Bible says. There was a great slaughter. And that's what it means. All the babies under 2 years old, all of them were killed. And you know, when you do that to human beings, not only human beings, but innocent human beings, you know, God is going to judge us. He's going to judge us. And that's what happened to this one. In verse 19, it said, now Herod, when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. Yeah, after that great killing, that great slaughter, comes the weeping, the crying, and we think that was all. No, it wasn't. It wasn't. Because you see, it's not only the weeping of the mother. You have the weeping of the relative, the father, the church, and so forth. Yeah. The home they go to, the home church. And so, it touched everybody. But Herod think he got it all. How was Herod remembered? Or how is he remembered in today's society? Herod was remembered as a wicked king. He ordered the killing of all babies under 2 years old, male child, both great and small, both the sick and the weak, both the poor and the rich. All was murdered because he wanted to destroy the Lord Jesus. you didn't get to do that. Because you see, all in all, God was in control. And not only that, for with God, nothing will be impossible. And that's a quote from Luke 1 and verse 13. That's the side of Herod. Let's look at the side of the wise men. First of all, right up front we see the wise men. They came looking for Jesus. Right in verse 1 it said, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born, king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." Yeah, they come looking. That's number one, because the star brought them there. Not only that, they came with a hymn. They want to see this baby and they want to worship him, because they know that this was something special. It was something very special to them. What was their aim? Verse 2, it's right there. Because they came to worship him. They know he was the king. And he, sooner or later, he was going to be the king. And they came to worship him. How did they came? They came by the star. They followed that star. The star that was pointing them, taking them to Jerusalem. And you should remember those days, I think Craig had said that last week, there wasn't GPS. You know? So that was their, if you want to say, their GPS. They were following the star. Not only that, these men were riding on camels. So they have to take a break. You know? They have to take a break overnight. We know, we didn't know how long the journey was, but they have to rest up sometime. And then they begin again to follow the star. Yeah. How do you think we would do? Because, these days, if you don't have GPS, you're lost. I mean, myself, including myself. It's only of late I got a GPS from my daughter. So everywhere Joy and myself would be going, you know, we would, when we come to the place, but then to find a street, you know, I have difficulty. And we can't see well at night. And so we said, there it is. And then I said, no. And then she said, there it is. You know, anyway, with GPS, you find a place, because it said, now you're at your destination. So these ones, they continue to follow the star. And after they went in and talked to the king, he sent them, he said, go, find this one. And then they came out of the palace. There's the big star up here again. Is that a miracle or what? I will let you answer that. You don't have to answer that. But here was dim its light while they were with the king talking. And after the king said, go and find this one and bring me word. Yeah, as they came out of the great palace, here is the star. It's more bigger and more brighter. And now the star is kind of leading them more. Until it wasn't far from here, from the palace. And there the star stopped right over the home where the baby was. So there we see right then and there that Jesus was about 2 years ago, 1-2 years old. Because this time he was in a house, not in a stable. And the star stood right over the house. And we can look at that in verse 11. It said, and when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary's mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, They presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You see, these ones came from the east, and they came looking for the baby. You see, these ones too were rich. They weren't poor, because the gifts they presented speak of richness. Not only that, we think, and I kind of have to think about this too, we think that each one brings different, one brings gold, one brings frankincense, and one brings myrrh. But I don't think so. They said, and other commentators said, each of them brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Because that was the custom of the East, people coming from the East. They didn't buy these things either. They didn't buy these presents. And I kind of have to go with that. They brought the gift of the land, the heat. Yeah. And so they brought what was there. That was their custom. But you see, not only did they brought the gift, but they brought the best gift. The best gift. You might open your presents already, or everybody might open their presents already. And some of us might not agree with our present that we get. Right? But this one, they brought the best gift that they could afford, and that was in the land. And they brought it to the Savior. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These were the gifts that they brought. Gold symbolized of deity and glory. It speaks of the shining perfection of His divine person. That is the Lord. And we kind of hear a little of that this morning. Frankincense is an ointment of perfume. It speaks of the frankincense or the fragrance of a life of sinless perfection. And three, myrrh is a bitter herb. It speaks of the suffering he would endure in bearing the sins of the world. And this is a quote from Isaiah. In Isaiah 60:6, Don read that this morning. The Gentiles bearing gifts, and they come to the Messiah with gifts. But it didn't, as Don said, it didn't mention myrrh. And that's the reason, because he was talking about the second advent here. And because of the Savior's coming, the intention of the Savior's coming was to die for us. And a lot of people didn't realize that. A baby born, and a baby grew up, and a baby became man. And the Father, having loved the world, gave him to die for us. And that's why we are here this morning. We believe that message. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish. I want you to go on today and read this chapter. And it said, I kind of see this when I was studying. In this chapter we read today, four times we see mention, number one, the young child and his mother. This is what the story is about. Not Joseph, not Mary, the young child. Four times. Is this telling us something? You read it. There might be even more than four times. But four times. And then, four times, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream. Yeah, this was God doing. He appeared, telling, first of all, he appeared telling the wise men not to go back the way they came, but to go another way. And then we see him telling Joseph to take the young child and go to Egypt because the king wants his life. And then the third one is, all these are Old Testament prophecies, and these are all fulfilled. Four times it's in this, the prophet, the Old Testament prophecy. Why? Jesus is God. Jesus became man. He was man and yet God. We don't really understand it, dear one, but maybe one day in his presence we will understand it. The God of glory so loved me, so loved you, that he gave his precious Son for us. Today, the gift of salvation is still available to those who will ask for it. Because God came into this world, born as a baby, to save sinners. And we have received, but even my children, some of them are saved, some are still not walking. But it's available. They have accepted that gift. But if you're not walking, you know, God is still dealing with you. Come back to the fold and enjoy the fullness of my life. Thank the Lord for coming out this morning, and we just thank God for this message. That although we look on the one side that the Herod, the king, would destroy the baby, on the other side, we see the wise men came looking for Jesus Christ. They found him. They fall at his feet. They fell down and worship him. And when they worship him, after, you see that? They worship him for it. And that's it. That's what we are to do. That's why we come here early morning and we worship, we praise, we adore for what he has done for us. After they do that, they presented the best they had, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. May it be so with us this year, dear one. We have this privilege of giving to God what he has given us. And let's do that. Continue to press on day by day as we go to serve him. There is difficulty and there is problem, there is strange happening, but we press on. We keep pressing on because I want to see my God. And that's what we have to do. So may the Lord bless you and keep you, and may the Lord make his face shine upon you at all times and give you courage to continue to praise him for the coming year. Father and God, we just thank you for this time spent around your word. Father, we thank you because when we were sinners without God, without Christ, in due time, you sent his Son for us. We thank you for the opportunity we have, Father, to read your word again this morning. It's just plain, simple. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray, Father, that you might continue to preserve it and continue to help us to be a student of your word as we go from day to day. Bless our heavy hearts here this morning. Father, we think of those who are going through difficulties, those who are having problems that just some of us know about. We pray, oh God, that these ones might become comforted. Minister to them in a real way this day, Father, and cause again that your Son's name might be glorified. Bless our heavy hearts here this day, and we give thanks in our Savior's worthy name. Amen.